It is a good morning. I mean, I can still hear. There it is. Okay. Any more?
You're good now. I was covering for you. Yeah, I was covering, dude. I mean, you know, I was being a team player. I know it's a weird concept for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm more of a Colorado guy. I'm more of a pad my own stats guy. You know, I care more about the Heisman than not losing to North Dakota State University in the final 56 seconds of a game kind of guy.
Allegedly, Rob Prime.
Yeah,
he's Rob Prime.
Yeah, yeah. I'm more of a guy that's worried about making sure I gotta get mine. I don't care if y'all get y'all.
That sounds like every day on the show, though.
I gotta get mine. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 9 o'clock on a Friday. And at 9 o'clock on a Friday, got to get down on Friday. We welcome in the boys from the Moving the Chain pod to spin you around the world of high school football here across the upstate of South Carolina. Now, I say the boys in the Moving the Chains pod, but Kevin, I can only assume, got absolutely toe up from the flow up at a Hootie and the Blowfish concert last night. And Jarrell made his once a year gracing of us with his presence last week. So it is the boy, the one who had the decency, the respect. I give this guy crap out of love. I'm not even going to do that today because John Epps is pulled up. He has shown up. Yeah, he has come through.
I'm disappointed because he cut the hair, man. I mean, what happened, John?
He got a real job.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, this is not a real job. So
there's some outside influences sometimes that, you know, tell you things, and you know, you gotta listen to your people sometimes and do the bigger thing.
But she's pretty though.
She is.
There it is.
She's great.
There it is. It was one of two. It was a 50% coin flip either way, but we got to the bottom of the mystery. John Epps from the Moving the Chains pod. You can find their stuff at movingchains.com. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/movingchains. Twitter and Instagram, same handle. And find their podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you find your podcast. What's up, big fella? How was week zero for the boys?
Man, it was fun. I got to see Clemson commit Marquise Henderson last week. That guy is electric, really fun to watch, and so cool. Belton Honeypath, they had the game ball parachuted in. That's the way to kick off high school football right there. Very impressive.
Yeah, I dug that. I saw you guys put that up on the Twitter handle, at Moving Chains, and
Can you at least once a week do that for this show?
Parachute in?
Yeah, could you do that?
Can I borrow your helicopter?
You can borrow the boss's.
Yeah, okay.
He's got like three.
Yeah, okay. John Epps joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Let's dive into some of these games, big dog, and take us through, as well as what these games are, some of the results. I know a couple of teams played last week, a couple of teams week one getting the official kickoff. Let's start with this one because it is a big one. Gaffney at JL Mann. Gaffney, the second-ranked team in the state in Class 5A. JL Mann, 6th in the state in this week's South Carolina media poll. What'd you see out of these teams last week, the offseason, that makes this game the highlight game of the weekend?
Yeah, you know, this is the premier game in the state. Lucky for us, it's right here in Greenville. This will be Gaffney's first game of the year. They did not play week zero. So it's hard to tell, hey, you know, who benefits more? Is it JL Mann to get a game under their belt last Friday? Or is it Gaffney to have another week prepare for a big-time opponent in JL Mann? Gaffney's led by running back Jay McDowell. I feel like he's been there for 10 years. Guy's played a lot of football for the Indians. Really good player. And the big story for Coach Watson and JL Mann, this is a really good team last year, but they were led by quarterback Ethan Anderson. He is now part of the Clemson Tigers program, so big congrats to him. But breaking in new quarterback McLeod Darnell last week, this young man went 15 for 16 last Friday in his debut, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns. He really answered the bell in a 56-0 drumming of a good Midland Valley team. This is going to be a really, really exciting program. Running back LaDainian Martin was at Greer last year. Now he's at JL Mann, a primetime guy at running back for the Patriots. It's going to be a really good ball game. You know, if you took the names off the helmets, I'd probably pick JL Mann on this one, but it's Gaffney. And like those guys over there say, they win sometimes in typical Gaffney fashion. I think the Indians find a way to pull this thing out. It's going to be a game that's decided by one or two plays. And this is the kind of game Gaffney, they make a stop on fourth down, they get a key turnover or a big play on special teams to win the game. But this should be really, really exciting ball game. A lot of talent all over the field.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to a game, there's no doubt that is the one. What does that sentence mean? Win in traditional Gaffney fashion. I've gotten to see this team play a couple of times. Of course, one of the hosts of the Saturday Morning Scramble, Alex Guest, big Gaffney guy. I've heard him use that expression a time or two. What's that mean?
You know, I go back to a game, I think it was 2 years ago, a playoff game against Northwestern. Game goes overtime. Northwestern, you know, they score a touchdown in overtime. They're going for two to win the game. Gaffney knocks the ball down on the two-point conversion to win the game. There's been other games where, you know, they get a big punt return. A game where they didn't lead the whole game, maybe. They have a punt return late in the game to win the game. Or they block a punt, you know, just something, those special teams, fourth down plays where it's, you know, they probably don't deserve to win the game, but they make a play like that and they end up winning. And it's like, man, they just got outplayed, but they won the game. That's typical Gaffney fashion.
Fair enough. I dig it. All right, let's get into another one that the boys have put on the list, and that is Dutch Fork at the Berg. Spartanburg hosting Dutch Fork in this one, and this a run back from last year, a 17-6 game. You don't see a ton of low-scoring games like that. A couple of teams that, again, I got to see both of them up close and personal last year. A couple of very physical football games. Are they going to put the same performance on this year?
I think so. You know, Spartanburg, coached by Mark Hodge. He did a great job at Chapman, doing great things at Spartanburg. They had a big-time win over South Point last week, won 26-25. This is Dutch Fork's first game. They are the defending state champs. They are in an 8-game winning streak right now. Dutch Fork, always a really, really tough team. I think we're going to see another really just slobber-knocker game, probably low-scoring. But I don't know who can beat Dutch Fork 2 years in a row. I think it's going to take something special again from the Vikings tonight. But it should be a whale of a ball game over in Spartanburg. I think it'll be a really tight ball game. Two really good teams, two very well-coached teams as well. But Dutch Fork, they got out to a little bit of a rough start last year, but they really found their groove and once again won the state championship. And I think they're going to be in line to be right there in the end of it again.
John Epps from the Moving the Chains pod. The boys join us every Friday at 9 a.m. all the way through high school football season to give you everything that you need to know about the upcoming Friday night spectacular. Right here on this station, as always, you'll be able to hear the Burns Rebels football. The Rebs on the road at Irmo. This is a 5A matchup this year. Irmo led by quarterback A.J. Brand and wide receiver Donovan Murph. Of course, we all kind of know where Burns is this year, not just being a team that are road warriors playing every week on the road as Nixon Field gets upgraded, but a team that, I mean, just about everybody who was anybody from last year's team transferred out. Bunch of guys ever. I saw Kamarius Bomar's name pop up over the weekend. I mean, you know that this was going to be, I think, kind of a difficult year to hit a hard reboot for Coach Reggie Shaw and have to spend the whole time on the road. Can Burns do anything on the road to pick up their first win of the season here?
You know, I know this is not a program that takes moral victories, but they lost 19-16 to T.L. Hanna last Friday. Went for it late in the game on a fourth down instead of trying to go for a tying 38-yard field goal. Very, very impressive against a very good T.L. Hanna team. I didn't think the game was going to be that close. So Burns got a lot of heart. The guys that are there, they got a lot of pride. This is a program that they're not going to lay down for anybody. And this is going to be a tough ball game for Irmo. They got to come out and they got to play strong. The only problem for Burns is this is a really, really good football team in the Irmo Yellow Jackets. They were 4A last year, up to 5A this year. They've got a chance to win the state championship. They're the fifth-ranked team in this week's poll. A.J. Brand's Virginia Tech commitment. And the really tough thing about this Irmo group, they can throw the ball. A.J. Brown, 3-4, 220 through the air last week in a win against a very good Oceanside team. They also ran it for 269. This is a very, very well-balanced, dynamic offense. Burns is going to have their hands full tonight. I think they give Irmo a ball game, but Irmo is just the better team. Down at W.C. Hawkins Stadium, a really cool stadium down there in Irmo. I think Irmo pulls it out. But this Burns team, I think they're going to be a tough out for everybody, even on the road, every game this year.
Let's take a look at some of the other games taking place around the state. The Dorman Cavaliers back in action tonight. Welcoming in an out-of-state opponent as Grayson High School comes over from Georgia. Other way around. Dorman's on the road. They got to go to Grayson this weekend. That is a long roadie for the Cavaliers. Folks that are going to be watching, listening from back here in the upstate, what can they expect out of this one?
So this is going to be a tough matchup. I was very impressed with Dorman last week. They knocked off Greenville 42-35. Good win for Dorman. But Grayson is a premier program in the state of Georgia. They are just a different kind of animal. This will be a fun game for Dorman. You know, this is going to be – you're going up against a lot of D1 talent. And the one thing I want to mention about this game, Grayson has an offensive tackle. He's committed to Georgia. Now – this guy is not a guy you want to talk trash to. He is 6'8", 385. This is a kid, and he's 6'8", 385, going to be a Longhorn next year. Dorman's going to have a hard time pushing that guy around, but that'll be a fun matchup and certainly a fun game for Dorman to play. I don't think they get the win, but it'll be a really good experience for those kids to go down and play such a big program, state of Georgia.
Some of those are interesting, right? Like I've watched a lot of programs that go on these roadies, and ordinarily when you do, these are big time programs that, you know, they kind of got to pull opponents from all over the region, because beating up on the same high schools every year, eventually people start saying, yeah, not going to happen. These games can challenge a team like Dorman, so I'm interested to see that. St. Joe's at Chapman.
Yeah, so both of these programs are now 3A this year with the big realignment that happened. So this is a pretty big game for the 3A ranks. Last week, Chapman lost a tough game to Daniel, 41-21. St. Joe's beat Cardinal Newman, a very good private school, 40-30. This is going to be a really fun game over in Inman. I know Chapman lost a lot of production from last year's team, but I believe in this group. I believe in the Panthers. I think they're a really good team. I'm honestly not sure what to expect in this ball game. St. Joseph's been a 1A program for a while, has been very, very good at that 1A level. Coming up to 3A this year, it's going to be a different ball game for those guys. I expect this to be a really, really good ball game. I don't know which way to lean. I want to say Chapman because they're at home, but it's going to be a really fun ball game.
Got a chance to watch Chapman up close last year. John Epps, man. I really enjoyed watching. That's a team that plays with a damn chip on the shoulder. Like, they are coming out trying to hit somebody. I really liked watching that team last year. I'm interested in this one as well. Last one before we wrap it up. Woodruff is at Fountain Inn tonight. Talk to me.
So this is really cool. Fountain Inn, this is the first year that Fountain Inn has got 12th graders on their team. Almost playing down a cylinder, you could say, last year. Only having... you know, your older kids being 11th graders. They're at full strength for the first time ever this year. They welcome in a Woodruff team that had a huge win over Clinton last week. So Woodruff is riding a high. They've got some real promise to have something special this season. I think it's going to be a tough game, though, for Woodruff. Fountain Inn, they got a win last week, beat Liberty. This will be a fun ball game. Two teams that have a lot of confidence, a lot of excitement around that Fountain Inn team as well. This should be a really, really fun game. I expect a big crowd out of that game too.
I want you to know, John Epps, I like you. You're a good dude, but you just got yourself canceled because you pronounced the T in Clinton. All right.
I try my best. And I know the saying is the T is silent but sweet.
Look, he's got a good set of teeth. Again, they can't say the T because they ain't got front teeth.
John Epps is one third of the boys known as the Moving the Chain Pod. You can find them on their website at movingchains.com, facebook.com/movingchains, the same handle for their Twitter and Instagram. And you can pick up the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google. They do previews, they do post games, they go live on X at the end of the night for the review. Is Kevin kind enough to come back and work tonight, or did he tell y'all he was taking the whole day off to recover from a show?
You know, last I heard from, he was belting out some Hootie in Columbia, so he might still be down there. Who knows? I'll let you know about 6:30 tonight whether he's at Jail Man or not.
Kev's asleep in a gutter some right now in Columbia. That's what he's doing. John Epps joining us here on the show. My man, thanks for coming by, big dog. Enjoy Friday night week one, partner. Enjoy college football week one tomorrow. Real quick before you get up out of here, Clemson, Georgia prediction, go.
Whew, it's getting tighter and tighter. I say Georgia 27, Clemson 13.
Oh, two-score game. That's what the spread says, too. John Epps, good talking to you, brother. See you next week, partner.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Always. That is John Epps from the Moving the Chains Pod. And again, as always, you can find them on their website, movingchains.com, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Moving Chains. And again, pick up the podcast wherever major podcasts are found. Follow them on X as they'll do their post-game review if Kevin hasn't knocked himself out for the weekend. We'll find out. Back after this, talk a little more college football, get into this Dallas Cowboys story, and more on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Rolling through the final hour of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Final hour of the day, final hour of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob of the Great Milanzo with you. Did you see this Dallas Cowboys story that is developing? Because it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Freaking hilarious, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's like two words, but still.
I'm still right. It's still freaking hilarious. If you haven't heard it, it's pretty great. The Dallas Cowboys finally got done a deal for one C.D. Lamb, who, by the way, I got strong-armed into playing fantasy football this year for the first time in like 8 years. Got CMC on the squad. Got C.D. Lamb on the squad.
Nice.
I don't know how. I should not have. There's no reason that happened at all. Anyway, they got a deal done with CeeDee Lamb, and of course, all attention, all eyes turned towards a contract with Dak Prescott. Cowboys have said for a couple of years now, Dak's the guy. They want to stay with Dak Prescott. They want to get a deal done. Dak has decided that he is just going full flamethrower now. He don't care. He is out of you know what's to give about this situation. Dallas Cowboy quarterback Dak Prescott says he does not need a new contract extension to be done before the season starts. He says, I think it says a lot if it is or isn't, but however, it doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you. Asked what he meant by that. What does it mean to say that, you know, I think it says a lot if it is or if it isn't. Prescott said, that's just how people feel. Dak, you can just say I. That's just how I feel.
When you reach a certain level, you are no longer just an I. You're of the people.
I mean, you and Dak rolling deep in that club. Anyway, this is fun. Jerry Jones said, quote, you could easily say if you haven't seen it by now, you haven't seen it. I'm such a fan of Dak and appreciate all of the great things that we all know that are there. And I appreciate his work ethic more than anything out here. I can't tell you how proud I am that we've got him this year to start the campaign. When you look at the situation, you've also got to weigh, okay, what are the consequences of the other side of the coin? And so Dak's situation right now for me, from my mirror, has more to do with our situation than it does with the merits of Dak Prescott being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know what that sound was, but I've never been more turned on. I've never been... All right, never mind. Don't say that on the radio. That's a bad thing. Your mom might be listening. Stop. So there's that. Anyway, so JJ basically said, and what is the right thing? What is accurate? What is correct? All right, what is accurate and what is correct? JJ said, you've got to evaluate it from the other side. What are the consequences if we sign Dak Prescott to a long-term deal? We give him what he wants. We give him like a four-year deal to stay on board as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. What if it goes squirrely? What if it turns out that the haters,
just falling apart. It's,
I know. It's Friday. Yeah. Right. Lonzo's struggling with the case of the senioritis now.
It's a long weekend.
He's very ready to get up out of here. We got it.
I had to turn
weekend.
You down for a reason, and I should have turned me down for a reason. So, I mean, you know, there's that. I'm very bad at my job.
We all are. So he says, look, you got to evaluate the other side of the coin. And I think it's honestly, very, especially with Dak Prescott, it's very fair to say that. The evaluation being, of course, what if the haters are correct in that?
So does this mean that Dak is moving on and Jerry's confirming it? I'm a little confused by all this.
I think what it means here is if they look at this and the haters are right and Dak Prescott ain't a guy that's built to get it done in the postseason. Again, I think the loss last year in the divisional round had a lot to do with Dak, but I think it had a lot to do with Mike McCarthy. I think it had a lot to do with the offensive play calling. I think it had a lot to do with a total meltdown by the entire offense. I think it had to do with a lot more than just Dak Prescott. But at the end of the day, you got to have good quarterback play. Part of the reason Green Bay knocked them out of the division round of the playoffs last year was because Jordan Love looked like a legitimately, genuinely good NFL quarterback last year. And because of that, Dallas got packed early, right? So I think what JJ is saying is before we give this guy a contract that welcome to how the QB market is working now, the next highest paid NFL quarterback is whoever is the next signed NFL quarterback. If a guy looks like he's Super Bowl caliber and it's time for him to sign, you got to make him the next highest paid or else he's going to go somewhere else and somebody else will. So I think JJ is effectively saying, look, we can go in all in on Dak. We can give him a contract that outpaces Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Tua Tagovailoa and Patrick Mahomes and all these other cats. But what if we get it wrong? What if he ain't the guy? What if he really ain't the guy? To me, it is the most open and honest that Jerry Jones has been about Dak Prescott so far, right? So that we are very clear. Everything that JJ said, if I am interpreting what JJ said the right way, the way that he meant it, and I think that I am, basically, what if are right and Dak ain't the guy, and then we end up signing up. If we lock this cat down for 4 years, we won't have the money to do anything else. What happens if next year Shador Sanders comes out and we believe he's that guy? Well, if we have signed Dak Prescott to a long-term contract, then we can't go get a guy like Shador, and we're basically stuck spinning our wheels for a couple of years, and we'll be right the whole time, and we can't risk that. Here's where it gets fun. He was asked about that quote, Dak Prescott was. He was asked about that quote, and he said, quote, that's the business and the nature of the game that we play. Yeah, I mean, I stopped, honestly, listening to things that he says to the media a long time ago. Doesn't really hold weight with me, end quote. So basically, JJ said, look, we got to make sure that signing Dak to a long-term deal is the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do for CeeDee Lamb, but we got to make sure that Dak is him before we pay him to be him. And Dak turned around and said, what JJ says, quote, doesn't really hold weight with me.
From what I hear, finally Dak is going to be moving on. And we're going to see what his value is. That's what it sounds like to me. It really does. Jerry Jones usually is all for everything Dak, and then now he's not. It's just It's a turn.
That I agree with. This is why that is interesting to me, because it is I think it is fair to infer that this is JJ like slow burning, that this is it for Dak, right? You do it this year or you don't do it. And I think that's the play from Dallas. I think they have decided that they are going to commit into either Dak gets it done this year or we're going to move on from Dak, right? Because even if it's not Dak's fault, it's still the most important person on the field, and in order to keep Dak around for much longer, you're going to have to make him the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. And if you are going to make him the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, while we wait to see what the next round of cap reset looks like, you're basically taking away from the ability to sign other guys elsewhere. You're locking up that money in your quarterback. So for me, I think what JJ is saying is, if Dak wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, then Dak has his opportunity this year to earn it. Dak has his opportunity this year to go get that cheddar, to go get that bag, to get paid by taking us where we want to go and where we want him ultimately to take us. I think that's what JJ is saying. And I think Dak is basically firing back at this point that JJ's just playing the game. JJ's just playing the game, and what JJ has to say doesn't bother me at all. I'm going to go do Dak Prescott things, and if they want to pay me, they will, and if they won't, I'll go somewhere else. But the fact that these two guys have clearly not been talking to each other about this, right? They clearly are not working on anything, tells me that Dallas is making decisions, as they should. As they should. They are making decisions, but they are not in open and constant communication with Dak Prescott. And if that is the case, boy, howdy, this might be a long freaking year for the Dakless Cowboys. Actually, next year, they'd be the Dakless Cowboys if it goes this way. I'll tell you what I'll be doing today from 3 to 7 p.m., is I will be tuning in to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel, because I am insanely curious as to what Cole Bryson, noted Dallas Cowboys fan, is going to have to say about this. I got an owner and a quarterback getting after it in the media right now. That team's not on the same page. All the folks betting the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC East this year, I'm thinking I might go put me a little change down on the Washington Commanders, bum, 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 to get by with JD.
At least you didn't say Giants. That's where I thought you were going to go.
No. No.
So Philadelphia. That's maybe.
That's the other call.
Yeah.
That's the other call. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. A little college football out until we wrap up the show, and then we all go home and take a 12-hour nap until it's football time in America, baby! Rob Lonzo and you wrapping it up next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Kind of dig it. It's like very 90s pop alternative.
It's my vibe right now, you know.
It is. It's a very bouncy vibe. I dig it a lot. It's very like, I don't know what you say, like early Wallflowers.
You want to know the name of the song though? It's Matter of Course.
Matter of Course,
which kind of fits the song.
I'm good. You know? I like it. Brandon Ayuk catches a four-year, $120 million extension with the 49ers. It was the same deal that the 49ers had been offering Ayuk since back on August 12th. I think that this was a game of chicken between Ayuk and the 49ers, and the 49ers won. Basically, what happened here was they offered him the four-year, $120 million extension back on August 12th. I think Ayuk thought that he was going to get the 49ers to blink and the 49ers to blink first by not signing, because I believe that he thinks, as I do, that Brock Purdy can't do it without him. And Debo and Kittle and CMC and all the other talent that they've got at Juszczyk, that's a good team. But I think he was waiting for the 49ers to effectively panic. We don't think we can get it done with just Brock Purdy. We have to have Brandon Ayuk, so give him what he wants. Give me what I want, I think was the play that they were going for there, or that Brandon Ayuk was going for there. And I think the 49ers won this a few weeks ago, because you will remember the 49ers went ahead and gave Brandon Ayuk permission to go seek the trade. Now, the thing was, all the parties would have to agree, right? Ayuk would have to agree, the Niners would have to agree, and the tradee would have to agree. And from what we understand, based on the fact that alongside Brandon Ayuk would come Brandon Ayuk's demanded contract, making him one of, if not the highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League, there weren't a ton of teams that were willing to do that. There weren't a ton of teams that were going to be willing to sign Ayuk for the biggest wide receiver deal potentially in history. And I think the 49ers knew that. So I think the 49ers said, you know who will be able to afford him? Bad teams. Bad teams with low salary caps. That's who will be able to afford him. So they rolled the dice and it came up aces for them, because the only two teams that we are aware of today that actively reached out and participated in trade agreements were the Steelers and the Patriots. The Patriots are the worst team in the National Football League this year. And the Steelers are a big, fat question mark with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Big fat question mark. So effectively, they said, you know what? You can go find a trade partner if you want to try to find somebody to dance with you. There were two that were serious. It was New England and Pittsburgh. And they said, all right, bud, you want to go? Enjoy Foxborough, Massachusetts, and a 2-15 season. Enjoy being one of the top two highest paid wide receivers in the National Football League while you're out there going 2-15 and never sniffing a playoff race again. Have fun. Or have fun going out there to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and playing with a guy that everybody in the world thinks, except Rob Brown, is washed as your starting QB in Russell Wilson. Or playing with Justin Fields, who is never going to give you time to develop a route, which is kind of your thing, because he has been programmed to run first, pass second. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. And Ayuk turned both of those trades down. The San Francisco 49ers didn't need to convince Brandon Ayuk that signing with them was the right deal. They just had to hope that nobody worth a damn was going to make a trade offer that Ayuk liked. And they would have to go back on their word and go, actually, we don't want to trade you. They had to hope that nobody that Ayuk would have liked was willing to make the trade, which it looks like there was not. And then all they had to do was wait him out. All they had to do was wait him out, and they did. They waited him out because you can charge the guy. I don't know what the actual number is, but you can charge the guy X tens of thousands of dollars for every practice that he misses. But as we have pointed out in the past, if you got what's his $76 million guaranteed? $76 million guaranteed. If I got to miss $500,000 worth of fines to get that $76 million contract signed, yeah, you can hang on to that $500,000. And oh, by the way, there are ways that the team and a player can come to an agreement where those fines aren't enforced. So for a lot of guys, I think Jamar Chase was one of them, basically they found a mediation method in the CBA where Jamar Chase was fined something like $500,000+, but the Bengals have effectively found a way to drop those fines. So he's not getting fined anything, and he got his contract, right? Or will get his contract. I think San Francisco probably hit him with, look, dude, we're not gonna drop the fines. And here's the thing. If you are not with this team by X date at X o'clock, we're gonna go ahead and list you as not playing. We're gonna go ahead and put you on the no playlist. And if you go on the no playlist, do you know what else we get to do, Brandon? We get to keep your game check, and that's worth like millions of dollars. So it's your pick, big dog. You can sign the deal we gave you, which we think is very fair, and show up and get a raise and earn your game check and keep your game check. Or you can sit at home. You can watch the San Francisco 49ers play on what I assume is probably a big old TV in your house. And we'll be perfectly happy to keep your game check and kick it right back into the franchise. And I think that's what happened here. You know, we've talked about some guys that play the game and you win, but there are a lot of guys who play the game and they lose. Brandon Ayuk lost. The 49ers played this like a dream, and it worked out just perfect for them. College football, I don't know if you saw this. I don't really care about this story. Apparently, a lot of people do, because I saw an article that somebody wrote yesterday that said another piece of the soul of college football has died. The Southeastern Conference announced yesterday that they will begin putting out availability/injury reports for football, men's and women's basketball, and baseball games moving forward. The new policy requires that schools put out an injury report, that they do so 2 days before the game, daily until the game, and a final injury report 90 minutes before tip or kick or first pitch of the game. Whatever, dude. Like, listen, you know why they're doing this, right? You know why they're doing this. It's for the gambling side of things. It is so that people like me can get a look and see on Friday whether or not Travis Etienne is going to be playing in this game for Georgia, or to find out if whatever quarterback is going to be lighting it up or is going to be on the bench with an injury that maybe we found out about is bothering them. I don't care. I read a headline from Matt Hayes on Yahoo Sports that said the SEC adds injury reports and yet another piece of the college football soul dies. Matt, that's a little dark, bud. That's a little dark. I'm fine with you saying about NIL deals, and I'm fine with that being said about free player movement in the transfer portal. I don't care that's how you feel, but at least I can understand where you're coming from. Having an injury report, or as the SEC is calling them, Lonzo, participation reports, I don't care. He says, a noble gesture, yes, but a ridiculous attempt at watch this hand while the other works its magic. By embracing the gambling interest, not that there's anything inherently wrong with it, the SEC are paving the way for yet another revenue stream. What don't you get, Matthew? That's literally all this has been. I had a conversation yesterday evening with a cat on Twitter who sent out a tweet, and I want to find it and read you the original one. He said, I don't like this clock not stopping after a first down in college football. Dudes, I don't know if you noticed this last night. The games were the exact same length as the broadcast as they've always been. Do you know why they stopped moving the chains on first downs? Bueller? So they could fit in more commercials, my dudes. Stop pretending like it always hasn't been this way. It always has. At least this one doesn't impact the freaking game, right? At least this one doesn't impact the actual game. The land of collegiate football has always been about the almighty, mighty, mighty dollar, boys.
Before we get to what the X, I just want to say, I love the 2 minute warning that they're not allowed to call a 2 minute warning. The 2 minute timeout.
The 2 minute timeout.
It's called, because they don't want to call, it's now called a 2 minute timeout.
Well, you don't want to be too much like the NFL.
Yeah, you would not want to do that. Yeah. All right, the first thing is X-ing. I don't know if you knew this was coming up. Labor Day is Xing.
I do know that Labor Day is coming up. It is this Monday. We will not be here on Monday. We will be off on Monday. So I hope you all have a lovely 3-day weekend. Don't forget for Bet for the Cycle tomorrow, noon to 4 on the BetQL Network with myself and Cody Decker. Labor Day is also the lady friend's 40th birthday. So once again, as we wrap up the show, Courtney, I love you. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Happy birthday. And of course, you're older than me.
Wow.
By a lot.
Well, let's jump away from that.
By enough.
The next thing is Xing is College Colors Day.
College Colors Day. You know, we did this in, this was a thing way back in the day, or at least for me it was in my school, in elementary school. They did College Colors Day. And so basically you were allowed to, I mean, not that you weren't allowed any
they
day.
They still
but
do it by the
way. Yeah, this was the day that you were encouraged to wear your favorite team's colors in. Well, when I was growing up, I'm from Louisiana, all my family went to LSU. So I grew up an LSU fan. And I remember in elementary school going to school in my LSU purple and gold, and I was in Florida Panhandle, and at this time it was pretty much all FSU and Florida fans, and having everybody make fun of me for it. And that's it. There's no positive spin to this story. It was just people are jerks.
Well, so apparently you were harmed.
I've been bullied my whole life.
Mentally, and you're still trying to find ways to cope and recover. And
my poor therapist doesn't get paid enough.
Good luck with that.
I know.
The next thing that's Xing is Rutgers.
Rutgers. Rutgers last night was playing Howard. They scored a lot of points, including a last-minute bleep you tutty on the way out the door, a tutty that the Howard head coach was none too pleased about and has made that very well known on the social media today. And I believe that the Scarlet Knights are getting beat up on for dropping an extra 7 to house the Howard, whatever they are.
Well, whatever. And you and I both have the same belief. You don't like it, stop it.
Yeah, I will say.
Oh, you're not going to pull back.
No,
from that.
I'm going to add a caveat. Okay, I am going to say when it's one of those ones where you're paying a school $2 million to come up and allow their very clearly and obviously incapable of competing players to go out there and get their asses kicked for the school to profit off of it, then I'm kind of like, all right, maybe there's a line in the sand. It's different if it's, you know, if Georgia's up 45 on Clemson and they pop another 7, I don't care. But when South Alabama's playing Ohio State, like, all right, dude, like maybe call off the dogs because you're like physically endangering them at this point.
No, you're not. I mean, it's football. You're physically endangered as soon as you walk out on the field. If you can't stop it, hey, give the $2 million back. You said they paid $2 million for
them? They can't. Their football team would die.
Okay.
Right?
Well,
It would die.
So if you don't like it, just give the $2 million back.
No, again, they can't. They would not have football anymore. So they go, hey, all you 17 and 18-year-old kids, we're going to send you out there with a bunch of grown-ass men, NFL-caliber players, to let them beat your asses for 2.5 hours, and y'all have to tolerate it, because if not, I might have a job. I am fine. However, this is Rutgers. This isn't exactly Ohio State, so I'm kind of like, nah, about the whole thing.
Yeah. If you can't stop Greg and the boys, that's on you.
Greg, old Shiano. Anything else? Any more for the road? Any good ones?
There was one. Oh, yeah, Bash at the Beach is tomorrow.
It is.
No, it's Bash at Berlin.
There it was. I was going to get there for you. But
which there's probably a beach in Germany.
Bash at Berlin. Good luck to friend of the show, Seamus. Good luck. Well, he's a friend of my show now. But friend of the show, Gunther, as he defends the Intercontinental Champion. I am falling apart at the end. Intercontinental Championship against Randy Orton.
It's my fault. My bad.
It is. I got contagious. Bad through osmosis. Hey, that's it for us. Have a phenomenal week one Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back next week, it's college and NFL football week. We'll see you back here on Tuesday as we are off on Labor Day. Have a happy, safe Labor Day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here Tuesday on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Later.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.